So, as you have probably gathered, Brian is not here, and there has been some sickness going around, and April got sick yesterday, and Brian said he wanted to reschedule, so he is going to come September 4th at this point. So you can mark your calendars for that, which then allows you to listen to me another time. And everybody says, amen. I'm not going to have you turn to any particular passage, but I do want you to listen closely when I read several of the passages I'm going to read. This is a message that I had in my files. This is an occasion when suddenly you're asked to preach or need to preach. You suddenly have to go back and find one. And thankfully, now I have a pretty good file of sermons that I've used, and I'm pretty sure none of you will remember this, so we should be good. I know Gary and Lily won't. I know they won't remember it, and I'm pretty sure Austin and Samantha won't. I'm trying to think of others that weren't here, but I first preached this on the 21st of October, 2018. You know what's hard to believe? That was almost 4 years ago already. That's crazy. But at that point in our lives, we were walking over to church one Wednesday night, and Isaiah had been complaining of a headache that day. And that wasn't the exciting part. But while we were walking over to church, Alicia excitedly told me that she prayed for his headache, and he told her it got better right away. Now, what do you think went through my mind? He probably didn't have that bad of a headache anyway. Just a coincidence. Probably wasn't bothering him that bad. Now, I didn't tell her that stuff, but that's the stuff that went through my mind. Now, be honest with me. Have you ever had situations similar to that? Someone says the prayer was answered, and you've come up with excuses why it really wasn't an answer to prayer. Now, we say we believe in prayer, but do we fully expect it to work? Or we don't believe it when it does? I know right now, right here for our church, I think we'd all agree that we're struggling. Not just our church, but the world is struggling. Christians are struggling. And I wondered if, I shouldn't wonder that because I know. God has orchestrated this for a reason, and I felt as soon as Brian said he couldn't come, I was like, you know what, Lord, I really do think this message needs to be heard today. Some are struggling physically. Many of us struggling emotionally with stresses and pressures of life. We're struggling. But wherever you are at and whatever you're struggling with, we should readily agree that we need to pray. Does it mean that we haven't been? No. I'm sure that's not the case. But if you are experiencing something like I was retelling that I experienced there, now that's been a while ago, but you all, I've had plenty of opportunity to have those same situations here recently, you might not be as confident or expectant as you should when it comes to prayer. So that being said, I want to say to you that there is power in prayer. Prayer does change things. And we can have confidence in it, and we can expect it. The theme verse, the key verse, or the text, whatever word you want to put to it, is James 5:16, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And this word avail means it's helpful, it's useful. Prayer is one, if not, in my opinion, probably is the most powerful tool in our arsenal that God has given us. A direct hotline to God. Are we using it effectively? God has chosen to move through our praying to accomplish things that would not have happened through any other means. As we seek God's presence, He gives us light for the path ahead and makes His purposes known. So I have just, I think it's six, maybe 7. Seven statements about prayer that I want to make. And the first one is a question: are we praying or doing? We live in a society, especially in America, where we are self-sufficient and we take action when something needs done. At least normal, hardworking people do. And the challenge with this mindset in relation to prayer is that we feel like we need to be doing something because simply praying isn't enough. We've trained ourselves that being still is being lazy, and we tend to connect that mindset with prayer. It's hard for us to grasp the fact that praying is doing. And just like our theme from James that we read, prayer avails much. But what else? Fervent prayer. While sitting quietly by ourselves, where no one else is watching, when it might not even look like we're doing anything, it's doing much. I want to read to you a rather lengthy story about a family that learned this lesson in a difficult way. Praying or doing? Our family struggled with that question in a heart-rending way. Though our daughter received Jesus when she was a small child, with adolescence came a gathering storm of rebellion and trouble at home. In spite of our best efforts, the world, the influence of friends without faith, and her own choices gradually took their toll. The distance between us and the daughter we dearly loved became so great that one day she simply walked away. When my wife told me the news, the urgency in her voice reached through the cell phone and grabbed me by the throat. "She's gone," she said through choked back tears. "Katie is gone." "What do you mean gone?" I asked. "What happened? Where did she go?" What followed was every parent's nightmare. Through some reported sightings, we knew Katie was out somewhere in the streets in our city, known for its violent crime and drug abuse. We scoured the city looking for her. Police and sheriff's departments were notified, parents and friends alerted, reports filed, and Katie's name and picture circulated to law enforcement agencies throughout the state and country. Members of our church joined in the search, sending Katie's name out on prayer chains. Out late one night and up early in the mornings, we followed every clue we could find. The sleepless nights and long hours of worry took their toll. Days stretched into weeks. Like any passionate mother, Carrie was so consumed with finding her daughter that she was teetering on the edge. One day she called me from an armed drug dealer's apartment where she had gone alone, trying to find out anything she could about Katie. The minutes in the car as I made my way through traffic were the longest of my life. After that, I told Carrie we need to be less frantic and spend more time praying. Her response was, "I pray while I am looking," but something didn't feel right. No matter how hard we looked or how hard we prayed while we were looking, it led nowhere. By now, Katie had been gone for more than 3 weeks. One night, one of our son's friends who was helping us look for her saw her at a convenience store. She was hanging out with a girl who had been run away for months and a young man newly released from jail. The store clerk told us that they had asked about bus tickets out of the state. For the next 24 hours, we hardly slept. I sent flyers to every bus terminal in the area. I sat outside the bus station, watching and waiting. We did everything we could think of. Only then did we realize that this was just too much, more than we could handle on our own. The truth had finally sunk in. God alone knew exactly where she was, and He could help us find her better than anyone else. In the end, that's how it happened. The next Sunday, difficult as it was, we took a step back from our frantic search. It was Father's Day. We spent some time with our son that afternoon and made a special effort to pray together for Katie. That evening, I took Carrie out to dinner in a nearby town. We heard Katie had been there, and we thought we might even run into her. But when we arrived, we discovered the restaurants were already closed for the day, so we started back home. Then the phone rang. It was a waitress at a diner we liked to visit just 2 blocks away. Katie was there. God led us directly to where she was. Within 2 minutes, we were standing in front of her. With a lot of love and hard work, Katie was soon on the road to recovery at home. And Carrie and I discovered the difference praying can make. As this couple learned, praying needs to precede action. We need to learn to walk at God's pace, and then when He leads to act, we can act. And that is crazy hard to do. It's so hard to wait on God. But you know that unless we really try to wait, we won't learn to hear his voice because of all the noise. The point we need to get is that praying is acting. Nehemiah provides this great example of a proper perspective on this. When he was exiled with the Jewish people in Babylon, he heard about the wall of Jerusalem being in disrepair, in ruins. His immediate response was to fast and pray. Nehemiah 1:4 says, "So it was, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven." It was later on that he heard from God that Nehemiah took action in. He gathered the exiles and he had them pray. In Nehemiah 4:9, it says, "Nevertheless, we made our prayer to God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night." It was after that prayer that God gave them instructions on how to take action. And granted, that's leaving a lot of points out of the story, but the important thing to realize is that waiting on God and praying isn't sitting idly by and doing nothing. It's taking action. We need to pray, and we need to pray fervently. And I'm convinced that Satan wants to destroy anything we're trying to accomplish here at the church at Montgomery. And you know what? We can say that all we want to, and we can say we're not going to let him win, and all this, but if we don't take action by prayer, he will win. Physical action will do nothing against Satan. It's prayer that will win the victory. And if we pray fervently, we will win with God's help. And the second statement I want to make is you need to make prayer a priority. Nestled among the number of exhortations that Paul gives into the Thessalonian church, we find one of the shortest but probably the most powerful truths and verses in all of Scripture about prayer. Does anyone know what that is? Pray without ceasing. Now, this would seem to indicate that prayer is pretty important, right? How often, though, does prayer seem to be our last resort and not our first response? We just talked about prayer being action. Prayer isn't only action, but action of the highest kind because it gives priority to God. If we desire to live in his presence, then prayer should absolutely permeate our lives. Many times we hear statements of, I need to spend time with God, or I need to take time for God today. And do you know how disrespectful those statements actually are? Think about it for a minute. It isn't about us making time for God. It is the fact that all of our time is in his hands and we are constantly before him in everything that we do. So it's not about making time. It's, are we spending time with God in our lives? And every aspect, are we praying without ceasing? Does prayer permeate our lives? What priority do we place on prayer in our daily routine? What priority do we place on it? It's a trick question. Prayer should be our daily routine. Our day should be surrounded by prayer, saturated by prayer, to the point that if squeezed hard enough, it'll spill out involuntarily. Think of a large puddle of water on the table and you have a small sponge, and the sponge, you rub it through the water and it'll soak up that water. Okay, just think of it completely saturated, and then you touch the sponge. A little water is going to come out. That's how you should be in your Christian life with prayer. You should be so saturated with the thought of prayer and praying to God that under the slightest pressure from the outside, prayer should involuntarily spill out. Whenever we're faced with a challenge, any type of a trouble, our first response should be to pray. It should naturally just spill out of our lives. And granted, that doesn't mean we're to be like a holy roller walking around with our hands folded and head turned up and look really foolish. I mean, that might not be safe nor look sane, but however, we should be so close to God that we should call on his name whenever and wherever we want to. And I have found, honestly, that when I, here in more recent years, I feel closer to God throughout the day than I even do if I'm taking my quiet time praying to him. Because it's at those times when I realize I need you right now, Lord. And I reach out in prayer, and I just feel close to God. In all this talk about struggles and troubles that we're facing, If prayer isn't our first priority, then we will not be victorious. And then we need to pray specifically. In Mark chapter 10, we have the story of blind Bartimaeus. Jesus and his disciples were walking with this large crowd following them. There's a lot of noise, a lot of distraction. And Bartimaeus sees Jesus. He starts shouting to him to get his attention. And the people got upset, told him to be quiet because they didn't need any more confusion. So he needed to go away. However, Jesus went right up to Bartimaeus and he said in Mark 10:51, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." Jesus asked a specific question, and Bartimaeus gave a specific answer. And we know the result. He healed him. What if Bartimaeus would have said to Jesus some of the prayers that we commonly use? "Oh, Lord, I'm struggling right now. Lord, I'm going through a lot. Lord, you know, I'm dealing with stuff. And Lord, be with me and give me strength." You know, the rambling sometimes we have. Have you ever thought about that? Why is it that we tend to beat around the bush when it comes to prayers? If your toe hurts, tell God your toe hurts, you know? If you're afraid of the dark, then tell God about it. Be specific. I wonder if sometimes we're afraid to be specific because we're afraid God might think that our prayer is immature. Like, it's a silly prayer. Why would you pray that? I tell God how I'm feeling. I think by praying specifically, we're showing signs of faith because we're acknowledging that we aren't praying to some far-off being that's untouchable, that doesn't really care, but we're praying to a person that really cares about us. Jesus wants to be our close friend. We speak plainly to our close friends. Why wouldn't we do that to God? If you're angry at God, tell him. If you're stressed, tell him. He wants to hear those things. Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy to find grace and help in the time of need. Do you know that God really does care about whatever we are struggling about and struggling with? He really does. And it's okay to tell him what we're feeling. I have had people say, "No, you shouldn't tell God you're angry at him or you're not trusting him," because no, God already knows what you're thinking. Go ahead and talk to him about it. And you know what else? Even when you don't know what to say, tell him that too. "Lord, I have no words. I don't even know what to say right now." That's okay. Be specific about it. Because even in Scripture, it says that God knows how to make sense of our human stammering. And then fourth, we need to listen. Probably one of the biggest challenges of raising children is getting them to listen when I'm talking. They like to make a lot of noise and they don't hear me. And I'm sure those of you with parents that have children know nothing about this. Those of you that have had children know nothing about this. I'm sure it's just isolated in our home. But do you think we can make this connection spiritually? How noisy are we? We've been talking about being still and praying, and that's challenging enough, but we're still doing the talking. How much harder is it to sit still and let the Holy Spirit do the talking in our own hearts? How many times have you gone to prayer and say, "Okay, Lord, talk to me," and then you sat still and let him do it? Because honestly, within 10 seconds, I'm talking again. Jesus Christ provided this example on several occasions. One of them was when he sent the multitudes away. He went up to the mountain himself to pray, and he was alone. And why did Jesus need to do that? He was setting an example for us. He recognized the importance of taking time alone and listening to the voice of his Father. Are we ever quiet enough to do this? It's hard, but you know what? There is something so fulfilling, something so incredibly rewarding to know, I just heard from God. I just heard his voice. On a number of occasions now, I have felt God speaking, and I wondered, is this God talking to me or something else? And Satan immediately comes in and tries to get that derailed and get me not to do what I think should be done. but the blessing of doing what I felt God was telling me to do immediately is rewarded. And I was like, that was God talking, and how amazing it was to listen and see what he did. So let's try to remember that in all of our talking to God, we need to take time to listen. We might just learn something if we do. And then we need to rest. How many times do we pray, and in the back of our minds, we really don't expect an answer? I don't think we'd come right out and say, no, we don't expect an answer. But how many of us have those thoughts from time to time? Maybe we don't even think it. Maybe it's just a subconscious mindset. Or how about we go to the other end of the spectrum? We have been praying and praying and praying about something for days, weeks, months, maybe even years. And yet we wonder if God is hearing, and we wonder if God's going to answer. We talked about being quiet and listening a moment ago, but there's also a time we need to rest in the fact that God has heard our prayers. Abraham is a good example of this. In Romans 4, 20 and 21, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Are we fully convinced that we have a powerful God that has heard and can answer our prayers? Are we able to rest in that? And that's a lot to say. That's a difficult task. Well, we did talk about praying specifically, and there have been many times when I didn't feel like I possessed the faith or the self-will to follow through with a prayer. So I asked God to help me with that too. We can pray specifically that God will help us to rest and trust him. That's one thing I'll say, Lord, I don't possess this on my own. I cannot trust you here. I just can't do it. You're going to have to give me that because I know I can't on my own. He's big enough to handle those requests too. Now let's talk about unanswered prayer for a little bit. And that's kind of sometimes a really tough topic. Do you ever feel like God's just not answering your prayers? Jesus told his disciples a story about the widow that badgered and badgered the poor judge until he finally just gave in. And Jesus said that this judge was unjust, but he made a good decision in the end. He told them, "Don't you think that God cares more about his people that are calling on him day and night?" The command Jesus gave them before he told them the story was Luke 18:1, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. In other words, don't give up. Jesus knows, Jesus cares, and he hears. Our timing isn't his timing. And that's really hard to remember, but we shouldn't give up. But there's another side to this equation that I want to examine, and that are times when we pray for things that Jesus knows we shouldn't have, or wouldn't be good for us. And then that's when true trust comes into play. We have to learn that even if he doesn't answer the prayer like we want him to answer the prayer, he knows what's best for us. And I'm sure you all know how hard that is. It's almost like a contradiction from the start of this message, but it's not at all. The whole process of prayer, standing still and making it a priority, being specific, listening, resting, and ultimately trusting that God's going to answer the way he knows best, it's all an extreme exercise of faith in an unseen God. Are we willing to take that plunge and trust that God knows what's best for us? Are we willing to accept that sometimes God doesn't answer our prayers because he knows it wouldn't be good for us to answer it the way we want him to? I want to read you the song, the words to a country song. And yes, sometimes they do have spiritual content. Just the other night at a hometown football game, my wife and I ran into an old high school flame. And as I introduced them, the past came back to me, and I couldn't help but think of the way things used to be. She was the one that I wanted for all times, and each night I spend praying that God would make her mine. And if he didn't grant me this wish, I wished back then I'd never ask him for anything again. She wasn't quite the angel I remembered in my dreams, and I could tell that time had changed me. In her eyes, too, it seemed, we tried to talk about the good old days. There wasn't much we could recall. I guess the Lord knows what he's doing after all. And as I walked away and looked at my wife, and then and there I thanked the good Lord for the gifts of my life. Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Remember when you're talking to the man upstairs, that just because he doesn't answer doesn't mean he don't care. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. You know, we as humans think we know how things are supposed to go, and we pray that way. But God knows what's best for us. Can we trust him with that? And the last statement I want to make is surprise. How often do we receive a wonderful surprise in answer to the prayer that we've prayed? What a great display of faith, right? God answered prayer. Shocker, right? Paul tells us in Ephesians 3:20 and 21, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." He can do exceedingly abundantly beyond what we can even imagine. So why are we surprised when God answers prayer? Isn't that what we asked him for? In regards to the last point in unanswered prayer, sometimes we get an answer that surprises us and we realize that God works something out far better than we even prayed for. Have you ever had that happen to you? Yeah. I don't know how many of you know this. I think some of you do. But in 2013, I felt an incredible, incredible burden and call to pastor a church. And you know who became the pastor there? Your former pastor here. And I felt like God wanted me to go to that church. And when I found out the guy that was here was going there, I was like, "Lord, what in the world? I thought you called me there." But little did I know he was calling me here. Work things out way better than I could even imagined. Never dreamed it would turn out this way. And if you would have asked me then about coming here, absolutely not. God called me there. But to see God worked something, he answered my prayer, but not how I prayed it. He did, I'd say, one step better. Actually, is a few more steps than that. But when it comes to prayer, I can just imagine God sitting up in heaven and looking down and saying, "Surprise!" I want to read this little article, and I want to read it as a prayer. So consider it a prayer. And then that'll be our closing. "Dear Lord, I want to thank you for the privilege of prayer. Thank you that I can come to you at any time, day or night, and know that you will never be too busy, too tired, or too concerned with your own pressing problems, or even the best of human confidence can be, to listen and to care. But Lord, while being thankful for the privilege, I do get puzzled about the process of prayer and wonder if I'm asking for the right things for all the people who populate my life, knowing that there are prayers I pray month after month, year after year, and still do not see the longed-for change within myself and others. But even though I do not understand the way you work in answer to my prayers, I praise you that no prayer is lost, ignored, or forgotten. And as I pray, you move often in hidden, silent ways to bring about your purposes, which may not be the thing I asked for in the first place, but which will always work out for my own good if I will trust you. Amen." I trust this was encouraging to you and encouraging you to keep using that incredible gift that God has given us called prayer. Thank you for coming, and I'll see you in a couple of weeks.